Romans chapter 3, please. The foundation for Christian faith. We've learned that the accomplished work of Christ changed the very nature of faith. And faith just means to believe God. Before Christ, faith was limited to each person's potential ability or capacity to believe God. After the accomplished work of Christ, a believer's ability to believe God became the same as Christ. This potential is the faith of Jesus Christ, to do the works of Christ and walk in newness of life as more than conquerors. While Jesus Christ was on earth, he was performing, carrying out, fulfilling the law in love. Christ was building the faith with each decision to believe God, with each promise and commandment that he fulfilled. He was believing. Jesus believed God. Never says that in the Gospels, but it's quite obvious. And as he pursued, in about a year's time, his ministry, he pursued the things of God, he became the founder and perfecter of faith. Because his believing God throughout his life, remaining sinless and then carrying out his ministry, accomplished all. And then what we see here in the book of Acts and the epistles and onward is the faith of Jesus Christ, because it's a completed work. But during his time, it was not completed. He was doing the work. He was believing God. This is very significant, like the illustration of the word building in English. The word building can refer to a verb, the action of construction. But it also can refer to a noun. As a noun, it can refer to a structure, a building. It depends on the context. So when we read the faith after the accomplished work of Christ, we know that it's referring to the completed work. There was believing in it. It was the believing of Christ. Now, the accomplished work of Christ, the Gospels, Matthew through John, show the work of Christ. Show the work of Christ. The book of Acts demonstrates the work of Christ, and the church epistles, Romans through Thessalonians and other New Testament revelations, explain the work of Christ. How simple. Amazingly simple. Beautiful. The Gospels, they show the work of Christ. You can see what he did, what God wanted recorded. You can hear his words. Even though you weren't there, God recorded his words. The book of Acts demonstrates the work of Christ. As much as they understood, they walked forth with that gift of Holy Spirit, not knowing all the details, and then God filled it in later on. Then the church epistles written by the Apostle Paul, they explain the work of Christ. You see how this all works together so magnificently. So beautifully. See, Jesus Christ said in John 19:30, he said at the cross three significant words that are so not believed. It is what? It is finished. It is finished. Why did God record that? For us. He gave him the privilege to say it himself before he died. He gave him the privilege to say those words. God said, my son, now is the time. And he said, it is finished. Oh my gosh. That should reverberate through the halls of eternity. It should reverberate in your soul every day. Every time you get condemned, you should say the words, it is what? Finished. That's right. It is finished. Every time the accuser comes at your door and knocks at your door, you should say, what? It is finished. That's right. Make a great t-shirt. And then people can ask you, what does it mean? Well, let me tell you. In Matthew 17:5, we read at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus brought certain of his followers up on the mountain, and he was transfigured before them in a vision. And Moses and Elijah appeared with him. Of course, they're dead, but it was a vision. And Peter's response was to build tabernacles to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. That's not what God wanted at all. It's not works. Stop with the works. Stop trying to fix yourself. Don't leave this event thinking, oh, I've got a to-do list. I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Sounds like New Year's resolutions. It's a waste of time. Why? It is finished. Don't fix yourself. And by God, don't try to fix anybody else either. That's what people do. They try to fix everybody. It's finished. Well, you know what God said when Peter said, hey, can we build some tabernacles? This is what God said. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This is 2,000 years later, and God is saying the same thing to you this morning. It is what? It is finished. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. As those words and the depth of those words sink into your soul right now, as I speak, it will heal your body completely. That's right, because it's finished. Verse 20 of Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Yeah, the law pointed out everything you did wrong. Couldn't escape it. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Meaning, how to be right and acceptable in God's eyes. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. See, the transfiguration, God chose to show Moses and Elijah. Moses was representing the law. Elijah was representing the prophets. Moses brought forth the law of God, and the prophets were to bring people back to the law, back to the law, back to the word, back to the word. They worked in tandem. What this is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying, is everything that was written in the Old Testament, in the law, and the prophets is consummated and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Everything. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by what? Faith. You got it? Faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon all that I like. Unto all and upon all that fit within my denominational framework. Upon all that have the same, you know, proclivities and interests that I have. I like to play softball, perhaps. Everybody who plays softball. No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? Unto all and upon all them at what? Believe, for there is no difference. There is no difference between each child of God. We've swallowed hook, line, and sinker, the bait, by thinking there's a difference. There is no difference. Not in God's eyes. This is the foundation of Christian faith. There is no difference. Now, people can squabble all they want to. They can make their lines of demarcation and, you know, you got the Roman Catholics here, and you got the Methodists here, and you got the Jehovah Witnesses there, and you got the Episcopalians and the Greek Orthodox and the Lutherans and all this bunch of stuff. It's a bunch of nonsense. That doesn't mean the people are nonsense. You love the people. Love the people. Work with people where they're at. I have no criticism for them. I really don't. I have none. None. But I make no difference. I can walk into a church, I can walk into a Bible fellowship. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever because I know who I am in Christ. That's right. I don't define myself by what man says. I allow God to define me, and you do as well. Look at Romans 3. Romans is the foundation to explain the work of Christ. Verse 27, where is boasting then? Romans 3, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of what? It's a law. Why is boasting excluded? Because you can't brag if it's not your works that accomplished it. You see it? It's so clear. No one can brag. No one can boast. Why is it excluded? Because you didn't work for it, I didn't work for it. It was the work of another man. We partner with God based on the work of another man. Look at Acts 15. This is the foundation. I referred to the Gospels this morning. I just took you to the epistles. Now I'm going to take you to the book of Acts, the transition. The one doctrinal issue that came up in the book of Acts that's so significant, guess what? It is works versus faith. That's what came up. In the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, please. In Acts 15, what happened as the church started to develop? There were religious zealots that were born again, but they couldn't make the transition. Yeah, the law had been around for 14 centuries. Been a long time. But they couldn't make the transition in their heart. They thought, oh no, I've got to work for it. You've got to work for it too. Notice that's what people do. Religious people will apply, sometimes to themselves, depends on the person, but they'll try to apply it to you. Nonsense. Now, it doesn't mean grace doesn't mean that you do whatever you want. It just means that being accepted before God has nothing to do with your good works or whatever you do. It's you're accepted. Christians spend too much time in condemnation and then judging everybody else because they're the flip side of the same coin, by the way. You notice that people spend a lot of time in condemnation. They also judge people. That's right. It's different sides of the same coin. Stop with the judging people. Stop with the condemnation. It is what? Finished. That's it. I am trying to be as clear as possible. And I love you dearly. I am. Because when you go back out there, you are going to get hit again with judgment and condemnation. You are going to get hit again next week. And perhaps maybe you're going to remember these words of our Lord. When God himself said, hear ye him. And he said, it is finished. Well, these religious zealots were not convinced. Verse 1 of Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. They taught it. They taught it. It wasn't just a suggestion. They were teaching works. Watch. Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Oh, my Lord. Barnabas and Saul, which is Paul, they didn't put up with that, right? Any minister worth his salt's not going to put up with that. So they go down to Jerusalem and say, hey, we need to go to the apostles and elders about this because, you know, this is kind of new. We don't want to diss the law. We don't want to do something wrong. But Paul is saying, God, this does not sound right to me. He hadn't written Romans yet. Watch. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this of this matter. I like that. They're considering. They're thinking about it. And when there were, where there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto the men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, that means people that were not of Israel, the Gentiles, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. To that time, the Gentiles as a group were not invited. People could become part of the Judean community. They were called proselytes. But the Gentiles as a whole were not invited into the camp of God until the accomplished work of Christ. And it says, and God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit even as he did unto us. And put what? No what? No difference. So when you look at somebody and you judge them because of what they look like, you judge them because of what they're wearing, you judge them because they're older, they're younger, they're from another country, they speak differently, they have a different bank than you've got, that's not right. Not a child of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything. Let's be clear about that, okay? I don't agree with everything. God definitely does not agree with everything that his children do. There's no way he does. But we never judge the value of that person. How can you judge the value of a son of God if God sent his son to die for him? What gives us the right to judge somebody and devalue what God did in Christ Jesus in that person? You got no right. I got no right. Now, I still do it at times. I catch myself best I can. You do too. Look. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? Faith. The accomplished work of Christ. We should walk out of here floating. Never falling back into those habits of judgment and condemnation again. And if we do, don't get condemned that you're condemned. It's like an endless, you ever been there? I'm so condemned. Why? Because I'm condemned. I'm judging myself again. Stop with that. Look at Romans 12. It's not by works. So they dealt with that 2,000 years ago. There's no difference. There's no difference. You spend time with people, like I've said to you before. You spend time with them. And you find out whether they are being gently moved forward by the grace of God or it's by works. You find out pretty quick. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, Paul said, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about the previous verse, being conformed to this world, to this age. We should cast down imaginations and every thought and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what it's talking about. The high thinking highly is to be conformed to this age and magnify an earthly identity. We exalt it above Christ. But to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man what? Either that's true or it's not true. Either you have the measure of faith like we heard this morning or you don't. And there comes a time when you just make up your mind. I said that the first night. You just make up your mind. And the guy next to you or the woman next to you or the kid next to you cannot make up your own mind. You've got to make up your mind. That's right. You do. And you can do this because you got the love of Christ. You learn to love yourself because God loves you. See, that's the trick to get out of condemnation, is you learn to love yourself because God loves you. God is greater than your heart. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same function. So we being many are one in one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. To really function within the body of Christ, we have to start with the faith of Jesus Christ, because we're all equal. We're all equal. We're equal in the family of God. That means no one's higher, no one's lower. There's no hierarchy in the household, in the family. There's no really hierarchy in the body of Christ either. But what it is, we have different functions. And what happens is people jump to the function and then magnify the function and they forget the measure. That's exactly what happens. Well, they say, oh, well, he's this and she's that and whoa. And then they magnify the function and they bypass the family. Right here you see the order of the Christian church should follow. Each has the same measure of faith. So that means I cannot think of myself as more than you. And you can't think of yourself more than me. Or you can't think of yourself less than me. And I can't think of myself less than you. Because equal measure. That is something to chew on. That is something to really make part of your soul. It's not easy because we're so used to and conditioned to judge by our five senses. Can't allow that. Happens with young people all the time. I used to teach high school. Boy, oh boy, do they rip each other all the time. It's like, oh my goodness, it's like a battlefield where they judge everything. Well, you walk in there with holy boldness. You walk in there with the love of God. You walk in there with who you are in Christ Jesus. That's right. And you don't have to bow to anybody. You bow to our Father in heaven. Look at Galatians 6. We just referred to it. Galatians chapter 6. Here's the clearest verse in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, which is the right thing at the right time, let us do good unto all. So that means that we're supposed to be good to all people. But it's the right thing at the right time. That doesn't mean that I drop everything and I fly to California to pour somebody a cup of coffee and then I fly back. The right thing at the right time. But then it says, especially unto them who are of the household of what? That's the family. There's really no difference. The household of God is the family of God. It just, the terminology here is household. That's where oikios gets its name from, the Greek word, household. With a little variation in the transliteration. Look at Romans 14. Now what happens when people have not sufficiently gotten to the point where they draw strength from the faith of Christ? What happens? Well, Romans 14. Romans 14 and 15 are just amazing. But this is the foundation. Romans 14, 1 says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." It's kind of an awkward translation. It just means don't judge them. Weak in the faith doesn't mean you're a weak person. Doesn't mean that at all. You could be very strong. You could be also very mentally strong. Weak in the faith means that you have not sufficiently, or I have not sufficiently gotten to the point where I draw strength, vitality, sustenance, if you will, from the faith of Jesus Christ. And God says, don't judge them. They're still trying to figure it out. It's okay. Don't worry about it. We don't judge them. Because if you read chapter 14, there's individuals that still think they need to do something. They need to abstain from meats, is the illustration Paul uses. Or, you know, they can only eat vegetables or whatever. Whatever you want to eat doesn't make any difference. But it has nothing to do with the faith of Christ. People think that there's still something left undone, or they need to abstain from something in order for the faith of Jesus Christ to really rest upon them. You already have it. That's weak in the faith. Does that make sense? Look at verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak." Now, if there's something that you are very comfortable with, it doesn't go cross purposes with the word, but you're really comfortable with it, you have no problem with it. But for somebody else, it causes a stumbling block because they have not sufficiently got to the point where their acceptance before God has nothing to do with what they do or don't do. Then you don't do that because you're going to cause a stumbling block to them. Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. Don't be a stumbling block to somebody who hasn't gotten to that point. "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God." Well, if you believe God, you've got the faith of Christ, well then go have a good time. "Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth." That's the context. If I have no problem with playing golf, and I'm still a son of God, even though I shank the ball every time, I go out there and I lose 20 balls, and I still come back and I'm not condemned, that's good. Then happy am I. Like, I can still play golf and not lose my Holy Spirit. You understand? So be happy then. But if it causes a stumbling block to somebody else, I play golf with my friend and I shank 20 balls and I start throwing clubs and, you know, all these things because I've lost my mind because I can't play golf that day. Not a good witness for him, perhaps. Do you see how that's a stumbling block? Oh, Rico, you talk about all this, but then I see you, you know, you go play golf and oh my goodness, you lose your mind. Well, how about Rico goes play by himself, loses his mind so no one else is around, and then we're good. But don't lose your mind in front of everybody else. You're a stumbling block. Does this make sense? Unbelievable. Great stuff. Now, can we deny the faith? Yes, you can. 1 Timothy 5:8 says so. To deny the faith means to refuse or decline it. What happens is we get selective in how we apply the faith. We apply it to certain Christians and not to others. And the context of that verse is your blood family. Sometimes what happens is we're so close to them, we see all their pitfalls, and, well, the faith of Christ doesn't apply to you. Yes, it does, if they're born again. Do you see what I'm saying? You can deny the faith by being selective. We can respect what God did in them, not what they do with it all the time. That's okay. That is okay. You can love people, but you don't necessarily have to agree with what they do with what God gives them. It's okay. It's like dealing with children, little ones. The little ones, sometimes they have accidents. The littler ones, right? But you just clean up the mess, right? But you keep the baby, right? You don't even think about, well, which one? The poopy diaper or little Johnny? Well, adults are the same way. They make messes. So get rid of the mess. Identify that's what it is, but don't throw away the person. Let me ask you something. Can you depart from the faith? Absolutely you can. 1 Timothy 4:1-2 say so. Then in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy. You can depart from it. And the thing is that they do it themselves. They place themselves away from the faith. They do it by their own choice and character. And the first thing you're going to see is they're going to start becoming respecter of persons. That's what you'll see. They won't have the mutual respect of all Christians. That's what they'll do. It's hypocrisy. How can you be a son of God and then I'm not? You do something wrong and now you're not a son of God anymore. How can that be? It's hypocrisy. Right? So you can depart from the faith. You can deny the faith. Absolutely. You can also undermine the faith of some. 2 Timothy 2:18 and 19 says so. It's just an example. But what happens is you can destroy, subvert, overturn, undermine, which means that's the word overthrow, undermine the faith of some, like a couple of those individuals mentioned in 2 Timothy 2:18 and 19. They were teaching things that were overthrowing and destroying the faith of some. You never see this in regards to the body of Christ. You can't depart from the body of Christ. You can't overthrow the body of Christ. But you can do this, because this is the foundation. Does this make sense? This is the foundation of Christianity. It's been here for 2,000 years. Yet man wants to build tabernacles to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. That's what man wants to do. Now, I'm not being critical of people. People are good-hearted, and there are brothers and sisters, and I just love them and teach them as much as they're willing to receive. But you don't have to follow those practices, right? Look at Romans 1, please. Romans 1. Now, do you think God wants anybody to know this information? Seriously, do you think this is just kept, should be kept by you and me, and we'll just kind of wait it out? No. Romans 1. This is the foundation of Christianity. What are we supposed to do with this faith of Christ? We're supposed to live it and share it. That simple. Nothing more. Live it and share it. Live it, share it. That's it. That's Romans right there. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom? We have received grace and apostleship. It says grace and apostleship. Notice it doesn't say the law and apostleship. The apostleship was to eclipse the law. It was the next step, if you will. That's why it says grace. It's unmerited divine favor, because the law has been fulfilled. And Paul is saying, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. There it is right there. Why grace? Why the apostleship? Because God gave this understanding to the apostles. The original 12 understood quite a bit, and then the apostle Paul. And it's to be lived. That faith is to be lived among all nations. So there isn't a nation on earth that God says, well, you can't live the faith there. He doesn't say that. He says all nations. Doesn't mean everyone's going to believe. But this tells you that obedience to the faith, and let me explain what that is. Obedience to the faith means that you and I obey what God says regarding Jesus Christ. That's all it means. Instead of obeying sin, you and I obey what God says regarding Jesus Christ, that it's finished. That's all it is. It's that simple. And what do you think the impact of your life and mine would be if we lived that among people? That you walk in the room and not an ounce of judgment or criticism comes with you. You go to work and there is not a stitch of judgment or condemnation in your walk, in your words, in your manner. You see all men equal. Would that be a day? That is the truth, and that can be achieved. We can live the faith of Christ in the household of faith in every nation. That's right. Anywhere on earth. The apostles had initiated it. The prophets established it. Chapter 16, please. This obedience to the faith is a bookend. The beginning of Romans and the end of Romans. And Romans is the foundation that explains the work of Christ. It's the foundation that explains the work of Christ. Once we live the faith among every nation, we should share it as appropriate. It doesn't mean you got to get on top of the building and get a bullhorn and start shouting John 3:16. Like I said that. You walk with wisdom and love. But it is to be shared. Why? Because why wouldn't you want to share something that makes every man equal before God? Isn't that what people want? Well, God has figured that one out. And he figured it out in the work of Jesus Christ. Because your work is not involved, my work is not involved. It's the work of Christ. Look at this. Notice at the end here, it doesn't say apostles. Look, verse 25 of chapter 16. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret before the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the what? Because the prophets established what the apostles set forth. And in every generation, God will rise up apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're in this room. That's right. Because God's people need it. Because the adversary will mold each generation and focus their attention on worldly and earthly and temporal identities. However he does it, that's what he will do. And the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, helps in governments, and all the ministries involved need to ignite the truth of God's word within God's people. Set forth the truth. Be an example and a model. The light of the word established. Look here. It says right here. By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, it's a commandment by the everlasting God made known to what? All nations for the obedience of faith. That means it can be preached and taught in every nation. It can be lived, according to Romans chapter 1, in every nation. The apostles set it forth, and it can be established in communicating and sharing it in Romans 16. Pretty neat, huh? Look at Acts 17, please. Raman's going to read an illustration of a man who absolutely, in more recent times, believed God. His name was George Mueller.
George Mueller lived 93 years, 1805 to 1898, and he was a Christian evangelist who founded an orphanage in England and cared for over 10,000 orphans during his lifetime and provided educational opportunities for orphans. He established 117 schools which offered Christian education to more than 120,000 students. On evangelizing, as a young man in his early 20s, Mueller embarked upon the task of proclaiming his newfound faith with energetic dedication. He circulated 200 missionary papers a month, stuffed his pockets with tracts to give to people who he met on walks and get into a conversation with, and he wrote to all his former friends imploring them to turn to Christ. For 13 weeks, he visited a sick man and had the joy of seeing him become a Christian. But not all his efforts at evangelism were successful. He recounted this story. Once, I met a beggar in the fields and spoke to him about his soul. But when I perceived it made no impression on him, I spoke more loudly. And when he still remained unmoved, I quite bawled in talking to him, meaning he screamed at him, till at last I went away, seeing it was of no use. He later came to recognize the sovereignty of God in evangelism and said, "So ignorant was I of the work of the Spirit that I thought my speaking very loudly would force him into repentance toward God and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ." On founding an orphan house, he said the first and primary objective of the work was that God might be magnified by the fact that the orphans under my care are provided with all they need only by prayer and faith, without anyone being asked by me or my fellow laborers, whereby it might be seen that God is faithful still and hears prayers still. Be assured that Christianity is something more than forms and creeds and ceremonies. There is life and power and reality in our holy faith. Prayer and faith, the universal remedies against every want and every difficulty, and the nourishment of prayer and faith, God's holy word, helped me overcome all difficulties. And then he had a section in his life where he was a missionary.
He started his missionary work at 70. Mumsy's in here. Here you are. And that's Marilyn's mom.
Christabel.
Christabel, affectionately called Mumsy. You want to stand there, Mumsy, or that work out? She's 93. And you know what? She speaks the word. It's okay if it's okay if it's too much. It's fine. But I wanted you to. My point is simple. God is not finished with you yet.
So then after he did all this orphanage work, which many commonly have understood about him, and fulfilled all of that which was in his heart, he was able to delegate it to other men and women their care. So then, at the age of 70, Mueller and his wife, Susanna, began a 17-year period of missionary travel. He traveled more than 200,000 miles, which was an incredible achievement because it was pre-aviation times. His language abilities allowed him to preach in English, French, and German, and his sermons were translated into a host of languages when he was unable to use these three languages which he spoke. Once, while crossing the Atlantic on a ship in August of 1877, his ship ran into a thick fog. He explained to the captain that he needed to be in Quebec by the following afternoon. But the captain said that he was slowing the ship down for safety, and Mueller's appointment would have to be missed. Mueller asked to use the chart room to pray for the lifting of the fog. The captain followed him down, claiming it would be a waste of time. After Mueller prayed a very simple prayer, the captain started to pray, but Mueller stopped him, partially because the captain's unbelief, but mainly because he believed the prayer had already been answered. Mueller said, quote, "Captain, I have known my Lord for more than 50 years, and there is not one instance that I have failed to have an audience with him. Get up, Captain, for you will find that the fog has been lifted." When the two men went back to the bridge, they found the fog was gone, and Mueller was able to keep his appointment, and the captain became a Christian shortly afterwards.
Thanks, Robin. Acts 17, Paul on Mars Hill proclaims this in verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day, God hath, in which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man," that's Jesus Christ, "whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." The words "given assurance" are offered faith. It's the only place where assurance, where faith is translated assurance. He is offering faith. He's holding out faith to all men. But he works in and with you and I to offer that faith. And that faith is not my group and your group, nobody's group. It's the faith of Jesus Christ and the household faith. Romans chapter 1. Paul acknowledges in each of these foundational epistles, Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians, he recognizes the faith that each of these groups had. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 8, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith," that means they had made it their own, "is spoken of throughout the whole world." Our faith in Christ can be spoken of because we live and promote an environment that's judgment and criticism free. Fantastic. Just love. It's powerful. Verse 12, he writes, "That is, that I may be comforted." He wants to go see them. "Comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." You have the faith of Jesus Christ. I have the faith of Jesus Christ. When we get together, we are comforted. That's the environment we're after. You cannot duplicate the steps of the Apostle Paul or the steps of the early Christians. We can duplicate the environment, which can be best described in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. That's Romans. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians is based on Romans, and it's the faith-based love that we're going to hear about this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes, verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith," there it is again, "in the Lord Jesus." And why it's the Lord Jesus? It's because it is finished. His accomplished work is what brought to pass the faith. Look at this. "And love unto all the saints." What was the Ephesians' response to faith? Was to love all the saints. You see it? We'll hear more about that later. And finally in Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience or endurance of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." What this is talking about is, it should read more precisely, "remembering without ceasing." The word "your" is more in the sense of you. It's concerning you. Concerning you regarding the work of the faith, the work, the labor of the love, and the endurance of the hope. And the word "in" our Lord Jesus Christ is not what it's reflective. It's a genitive. It should be "of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's talking about that the Thessalonians had embraced the work of faith of Jesus Christ. They had embraced the labor of love of Jesus Christ, and they had embraced the endurance of hope of Jesus Christ. Fantastic. So where does this all end? We'll close here in Acts chapter 2. Where the church began is where we'll close. What was the response when people figured out that they are now saved by the work of another man? This is their response. Verse 43. "And fear." And fear can be either translated respect, reverence, or fear. Here it is, reverence, respect. "And respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Mutual respect is the basis and the foundation of all Christian interaction. Mutual respect. What we respect is what God did in that person. Whether young or old, makes no difference. We don't necessarily agree with everything everybody does, but we do respect that. So that is the foundation for Christian faith.